And I'm here with Frank White from the Forest of Dean Eco Village. Hey there.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks. And so I was wondering, we've heard a little bit of talk about what's going on in the Forest of Dean, but I was wondering if you could tell us a bit what's happened, how it started, and all that kind of stuff.
My involvement started in the end of summer last year at the Reclaim the Fields gathering in Bristol. After that, we got together a crew and started squatting some buildings in the Forest of Dean and started something called the Forest of Dean Eco Village. So we've been there since the summer, moving around. We got evicted from the farm building that we were squatting and then started living in the forest. We've been creating dwellings in the forest and doing some guerrilla gardening, getting moved on by the Forestry Commission. And in the new year, on the first full moon of 2012, we squatted an environmental education centre in the Forest of Dean that has been closed by the cuts, and we've reopened it on a voluntary basis, and we're basically having open days and doing all sorts of like sustainable education stuff.
That sounds great. So sort of what's an average day, or what are the sort of kinds of things that you're doing at the center? How's the outreach with the community going as well?
Okay, average day is wake up and make a cup of tea over an open fire. So, you know, fire lighting skills are a must. Then we've got four buildings to hold down. We've got some security guards to contend with. That's a daily sort of thing we do. Then we run skill shares and workshops. So we've set up a regular Saturday Skillshare and workshop day where people from the local community are free to come up and check out what we do, which does happen. So we have had quite a bit of positive response from the local community. There's people who are willing to share their skills, like we have some foresters who want to do coppicing workshops. We've had roundhouse building workshops, blacksmithing workshops, local herbalists have come down, people doing weaving, people doing basket making, people doing wild food foraging and bushcraft skills. So it has been so far a great success on a medium scale, but I think the potential there is for it to like really like kick off and make like a real big impact with the local community. So, you know, we've got quite a good image in one of the local newspapers called The Forester, which is like once a week. Then we've got a sort of a medium to fair conservative paper that's called The Citizen, that's a daily that that we've got a relationship with. We're trying to develop and improve the sort of information that comes out through that one. But there are some roads that we need to go down to do with like proactive community outreach, rather than just opening our doors up and waiting for them to come to us. We would like to do a little bit more stuff, like maybe put posters up in the local churches, because that's where the local communities do have some sort of cohesion and where people might be willing to open their hearts and sort of come down and make roads to sort of have a relationship with us. And so there's quite a sensitive community relationship that goes on there, because the Forest of Dean does have an extremely long history of resistance against oppression, but that also means that the communities are quite strong in their sense of self and their sense of history. So that can have slight adverse effect in relationship to people coming into the community. So if they see us as outsiders and doing something that is not in the interest of the local community, then there could be a conflict there. But at the moment, the prevailing sort of message that we get through is that they see us as a positive force, we put out a lot of info over the internet and over the through the newspapers, especially the Forester I mentioned, that has been quite good at putting our message across. We put a lot of information through to the council about our intentions, statements of intent, that we'd like to be caretakers, we'd like to look after it on an interim basis, that we don't want to cause any trouble or have like costly legal fees, so we've offered to negotiate a leaving date and things like this. So we are trying to do everything like above board and in a transparent way as possible to make sure that people feel like they could take ownership of it, and that we're open to have people come up. And essentially the bottom line is that it needs to stay open for the community as an environmental education centre.
That's great. Yeah, so it was shut because of the cuts, and you guys were sort of part of sort of just trying to keep it open. And I think you're sort of saying, so how have your interactions with the council gone in general? What's been your sense of how they're perceiving you guys and how that's going to go?
Well, I think as you can imagine, there's like a standard stock response from the council. There's a standard sort of attitude of the council as well. So in a way, we've tried to pitch ourselves with a knowledge of their prejudices against such people as squatters and there illegally. So yeah, our interactions have been pretty good. I mean, the initial one, they're interested in health and safety. So things like sanitation and people hurting themselves and such like. So we've told them we're going to cover, you know, public liabilities insurance. We've investigated that, although we are all already individually personally liable for anything that occurs there. And so it seems anybody going and attacking us in a libelous way will go for the biggest pot of money, which is the council anyway. So even if we do or don't have liabilities insurance, they're just going to go for the council. Then we've put across a proposal and a statement of intent. So we have, like, initially on the first day that we squashed it, the first day that we sort of had a public interaction, which was, you know, interaction with the council, interaction with the newspapers, we had loads of stuff ready to go. So we're totally prepared for, like, we had a press release that we put out, and we had a proposal to the council that we sent out simultaneously on the day that we like launched the project to take on and reopen the Environmental Education Centre. So we have been like properly on the case with putting forward like a real positive image to the council, like saying we're caretakers and we want to hold it in the interim period before it's reopened and things like that. But we did have a meeting with the council last Tuesday, so that's representatives of a few different departments to do with the property services, like managing the properties and like how they relate to their like assets within the council, and like community liaison officer. So that was an information exchange in a way, so that they took our proposal and our sort of information to a broader and bigger council meeting, which occurred yesterday. I think that was a Wednesday. And so we are sort of waiting to hear back from someone who is sort of friends with us and friends with the council. So we're trying to, yeah, ascertain what actually went down in that meeting. But hopefully we've put forward a proposal to negotiate a leaving date. So that is our tack of saying, look, in the papers it's always going on about these costly legal fees, cost to the taxpayer, all this stuff, you know, the stock stuff they always come out with. But what we're trying to say, look, you don't have to go down that route. We're willing to leave on the condition that it stays open as an environmental sustainable education centre.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds great. Sounds like there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on there as well. And I was just wondering, before we sort of wrap up, I guess what are your plans for the future there? I mean, you've sort of mentioned that you want to stay open. But sort of beyond that as well, what are your sort of plans? And also, what sort of support and solidarity do you need? And also, do you have like a wish list of things that you need, especially, I know it's a bit chilly and things out there at the minute, so, I don't know, hot chocolate, how's that looking?
Yeah, well...
That would be my number one.
Top of the wish list is socks, and then we want bodies, and then maybe some food. But, yeah, plans for the future. Well, the Forest of Dean Eco Village will live on. Like, this occupation is a stepping stone to future great and wonderful land squats. So, you know, keep contact with us because we will, in the future, be doing more things like this. I personally am involved with Reclaim the Fields, so we're doing a Reclaim the Fields gathering at the Wilderness Centre on the 8th and 9th of March. So that will be a Thursday and a Friday where we do like the nuts and bolts Reclaim the Field stuff, do like the usual seed rights, land rights, gender sort of land squats work, stuff like that, history of land rights, things like this, and doing work groups within Reclaim the Fields to do with these issues. Then we'll have the standard Forest of Dean Wilderness Centre Protect the Wilderness open day on the Saturday, and people can come, you know, before the gathering to help out and stay on after the gathering to help keep the project running. So then for the future of the Wilderness Centre, there's a group called Friends of the Wilderness who have proposed a charitable trust who seem like they are a good bunch of people. The guy running it has his heart in the right place, and he sort of tentatively said that we might have a role in the structure of this trust, which is one thing which we were concerned with at the beginning, that it wouldn't be just a sort of conservative Mason club to sort of asset strip the county and sort of take on all these things that the council are selling off. So it's going to be a charitable trust which we will have a say in the structure of in the future. So the Wilderness Centre will stay open, but it's just how that manifests and what that entails. And now the Protect the Wilderness people are there, we're definitely sure that it's going to be for the benefit of the people. Then, yeah, after that, basically, it's an invitation and a call out for people who are, like, willing to work, who've got skills, who have a bit of toughness, and I'm sure there's some tough people out there who can deal with the basic conditions that we live in, and basically, we just got to keep this relationship with the community and the council sweet. You know, obviously, there are certain aspects that are undesirable within our community and within, you know, other people's community, like in the local community, but we want to put forward a best face and make sure that we can maintain, like, this positive future and keep, like, visioning this sustainability education thing, because I don't know what sort of future other people out there envisage, but we think that, you know, the brown stuff's going to hit the fan, and we need places like this that are promoting self-sufficiency, food growing, and like the basic skills that we're going to need to look after ourselves, and making these community roads and bridges between different groups is like vitally important to make sure that we can all survive whatever problems we might face and whatever skills and stuff that we're going to need in the future.
So do you mean things like as we've hit peak oil and those kinds of things, and our dependence on fossil fuels and sort of all the complex networks that have been built up, as that sort of tends to crumble, we need to sort of become more self-sufficient?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my tack on the like top of the list is food growing and food autonomy, because you know when the supermarket shelves are empty and people start to get hungry, you know that's when the problems start. So in my mind, really cracking the ground, reclaiming the fields, getting people skilled up of how to work together in community groups and grow food for themselves and be autonomous in that sense is really vitally important.
Wonderful. Well, great. Well, thanks a lot, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and basically thank you to all the people that are involved with the Forest of Dean Eco Village, because all this stuff couldn't have happened without all the people giving their positive energy to this project. Thank you.
Great.